All right. We've praised God. Now let's see what God has to say. We're still on Seasons of the Soul, and we're talking about a time to throw away. When I had a furniture factory, once a year I called in the dumpster. And in that dumpster, I threw away $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of merchandise. Now, why did I throw it away? Well, number one, it became dangerous. When the shop was too crowded and there were too many things everywhere, it was too easy to trip and cut yourself or to slip and cut yourself. And so it became dangerous to the men. Second reason I threw all that stuff away is it cost me more to keep it than to throw it away. Now, you might not understand that, but I'll explain it. I could order another one for $20, or I could pay somebody to look for it for 6 hours, because that's what they would do. They'd spend 6 hours going through things to find the thing that cost $20. I just spent $300 instead of spending $20. So I had to clean the shop out. I had to know that it was time to throw some stuff away so that I could be prosperous. It's that way spiritually. There is a danger with spiritual clutter. Yep. There's a big danger because what has happened is I like to present our life as a painting, a canvas. And in this painting, God has got his brush on it, and we have our brush on it. And we're painting this picture, and this picture is our life and how we live it. And what happens is people like to come along with their paintbrush and get on our painting. It was never meant for them to paint on our painting. They're supposed to be painting on their own painting. They just don't know any better. And so we start going through our journey of faith. It starts as a young kid when they start telling us things about God. And funny how many times the adults have no clue what they're talking about. I remember being at a church, and I had to explain to the entire church that two animals of every kind did not go on the ark. And they looked at me like I lost my mind. Some of you are looking at me like that right now. Still think that two animals went on. See, you need a spiritual cleansing. You need to cleanse. You got clutter. You got things wrapping around your head, and you've limited God because you drew a picture of God. Instead of looking at the picture he wants you to see of him, you drew a picture of God, and you put all these limitations in there, and you live under those limitations. All at the same time wondering why you're not prospering or why you're not living the life that God promised us. When I answered the call to become a pastor, God kind of gave me a hard time. And I was surprised because why are you giving me a hard time when you're the one asked me to do it? And I said no for 10 years, and then finally I'm saying yes. And he said, because you belong to the church of the pick and choose. And what he was saying, what I now understand him to have being said, is that you need a spiritual cleansing before you can be a pastor. You have all of these ideas of who God is that you created in your mind. And then you have all of these ideas of who God is that you've heard from other teachers that didn't know any better. And I came up in a church that didn't believe in prophesying. and God taught me how to do it. Didn't believe in a lot of things because they chose what they wanted to believe and what they didn't want to believe. And we're going to finish this Sunday talking about the spiritual gift of talking in tongues. Before we go to the final spiritual gift that I want to talk about. And that didn't exist. It was fake. That's fake. It doesn't exist. The Holy Spirit getting on somebody was fake. That was fake. And they taught it that way. And I realize now, looking back at it, all they were doing was limiting themselves, stopping God from working in their life because they decided who God was. They didn't let God decide who he was. And so, the first thing we need is spiritual cleansing. We have to throw away some of the things we listened to over the years that have no truth to them, like two of every animal went on the ark. What you looking at me like that for? You told your grand... You did what? You didn't read it from the Bible. If you still think two of every animal went on the ark. That is not what it says. Okay, now we're getting to some truth, because there ain't no way you read it, because it ain't there. Okay, it's a little different story in the Bible than what somebody's told you that you just bought hook, line, and sinker. Like, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds right. Two animals, uh-huh. You need help, Marisol. You really need help. We're going to get you some help. We really are. We're going to get you some help. We're told things and we buy into them, and all we do is limit God and his power to work in your life. I often say, you've heard me say it before, we have a watered down Christianity from 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Go back and look at the Christianity 2,000 years ago. I'm sure you did. It's there. I don't know what kind of Bible you're reading, but no. All right. You go home and you let me preach tonight. You go home and you figure that out and we'll have a talk. Now, where was I? Where was I, Pastor Linda? Nobody knows where I was.
But where he truly was having a debate with the people about how many animals was on the ark.
Okay, thank you, Josh, thank you. We've had 2,000 years of watering down our Christianity, watering down the power that Christians walk in. Peter could heal with his shadow. Paul could heal by sending a handkerchief. That's power. What happened? We started getting cluttered in our mind, and we've never stopped to realize we need a spiritual cleansing. And I got a spiritual cleansing when God told me that I belong to the church of the pick and choose, and that's not what he wanted. He wanted Genesis to Revelation, the entire thing. And I often say this, I don't have to agree with it, I have to accept it. And that's why I tell people, if you think I've said something wrong, you show me in the Bible and I will accept it. Because that's what God said. I'm not interested in what I say. I want to know what God said about something. And so I go study and search and look to see what it is God said about it. And if you want to grow, I'm so thankful I had a spiritual cleansing because I never would have grown without it. If you want to grow, ask God for a spiritual cleansing. That's how you're going to grow. God can't put something in you if you're already full of it. You've got to empty it out so God can put something in you. And so I went to bed one time, a denominational guy who believed this and that and the other thing, and I woke up a whole nother guy believing all kinds of different stuff that I had never believed before and that I was told didn't exist. Now, I don't know what kind of sense you think it makes to say something happened before and now it doesn't exist. The Bible doesn't say it doesn't exist anymore. So what kind of understanding is that if you think it doesn't exist anymore? Where did that come from? But yet the same person will say God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, then how come this doesn't exist anymore? You're not making any sense to me. Right? If God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then this still stands. Nothing's changed. There's still prophecy. There's still healing. We got people who don't even believe in healing that call themselves Christians. That boggles my mind. We have to cleanse ourselves to walk in God's power. I'm going to let Pastor Linda begin.
We're now entering into a season called a time to throw away. This can be a very frustrating season for some, a much needed season for others. Understand that there again is a vast difference in the seasons than the ones that we've gone through before. When somebody repeats something, specifically God, you better pay close attention. We cast something, we throw something. We cast something, we throw something. But remember, there's a vast difference. This season of throwing is not casting. We must understand the difference before we proceed.
Throwing something is usually almost always done with force and very intentional, where casting is done in, let's say, the manner of tossing it aside, very non-intentional.
When you're throwing something away, when God has told you to get rid of something, and you just toss it off to the side, I'm going to use the word flip it, okay? You just slap God in the face. He told you to throw it, not toss it. Because when we toss something, it's still within reach. When you throw something forcefully, if you can reach it, my friend, you got long arms. Yeah? If I could rate the seasons in the journeys, or if I could rate them in order of the seasons, I would rate the season of throwing in the top five. And out of the top five, I would say it's the top two. Because you really need to go through this season to understand all the other seasons. Why? Because you got to declutter. You got to cast away. Got to have a whole new mentality about what God's really trying to say. I love to hear people debate. Y'all debating. Because you have somebody who knows that they know that they know, a doctorate in theology, with somebody who's been taught, only what they heard, not what's physically in the word. It's fascinating to me how many people can stand toe to toe with somebody who knows what they're talking about and debate something they have no idea about. You think that's frustrating? How more frustrating is it to God? It's very frustrating to God. Bishop teaches us he has to get all of man-made, taught, ingrained junk out of you before Jesus can get in you. That's Linda's version. Are you aware that there's actually scripture that backs up what he talks?
Before I read that, I just want to say the difference between throwing something and tossing it aside. We witnessed this week. I took Franklin and another guy to Fort Lauderdale this week, and we decluttered an attic. And she didn't flip it aside. She said, take it to the swale. I'm not even going to look at it. She didn't look at one thing, didn't go through one box. It took them probably 5 hours to clean out that attic. And she never looked at one thing. She threw it away. Never looked back, never wanted to see what it was she threw away. She said, we haven't seen it in 10 years. We haven't seen it in 20 years. Throw it away.
I like her.
Just throw it away.
She needs to come clean my house.
She'll throw it all away.
Praise God. I'll get more.
But there's things in the spiritual realm that we have to throw away, because we are living in like the best time and the worst time of technology that I've ever seen, because I'm now have come to an understanding that over half of what I read is not true. Over half. I have to search for the truth, and I didn't have to do that 5 years ago. But now I have to search for the truth, because it's lie after lie after lie, made up stories that are not true.
And even worse of what you hear.
Many, many know that there's a trial going on right now, and the jury's in deliberation. And I have read no less than 15 times what the verdict of the trial was, even before the trial ever started.
Oh, my.
It's fake. It's fake news. It's fake. So much of what we're reading is fake, and I'm constantly with my wife, because my wife's this prolific reader these days, and she reads everything, and she reads in nonstop reading, and she'll say something to me, and I'll say, honey, that's not true. That's fake news. That's fake. That is fake. Where'd you get that from? What's the source? Because that's fake. And you know, we were warned, you know, President Trump in his first term started talking about news being fake. And I pull up YouTube if you don't think it's fake, and I can show you which is fake, 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 fake. And they're fake. Let me read this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is united with the anointed one, that person is a new creation. I love that, because I don't want to be judged on who I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm not that guy anymore. And if you walk out of my life and then you come back 5 years later or 10 years later, I look at you as a stranger, because I do not know you. I know who you used to be, but I don't know who you are now. So now I have to find out who you are now, because I won't put that limitation on you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put you in that box that you used to be this or that, because I'm going to believe that God has worked in your life the way he's worked in my life. And I'm going to believe that you're smarter than you used to be. You're wiser than you used to be. You have more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding than you've ever had before. You're growing in God. You're growing as a person. You're more mature than you used to be. And I'm going to give you that benefit of the doubt until you prove me wrong. You deserve that. If I don't want to be judged on who I was, then why should I judge you on who you were?
Right.
If anyone gets together with Jesus, you're a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. I talked once before about going to a lot of funerals, your own. something should be dying in you regularly because you become a new life every day. You're a new person tomorrow than you are today. God's doing something in you. God's constantly doing something in us, creating something better.
Right.
You're a new creation. You're a new person. There's some people in here that have done some bad things. There's some people in here that's done some good jail time. There's some people in here who never got caught. That would be me. That would be me. There go I, but for the grace of God, there go I. And if God can change you, why can't he change everybody else? We do. We get a lot of community service guys because nobody in town these days wants to mess with them. Why? Because half of them don't show up, and the other half that does show up doesn't want to work anyway. And so they come and they don't finish and they leave. And I've watched them go back to jail because they wouldn't do their community service time. And we run background checks. The minute somebody comes in, we run the background check. Anybody who gets involved in ministry here, background check. If you're going to get anywhere near our kids, I want to know who you are. Okay? And but it doesn't mean that I hold them to the standard they were. I'm looking to see when it was you did what you did, and I'm looking at who you are now. And the best vision you'll ever have is seeing through God's eyes of who they're going to become. See, they might not be there yet. That's okay. I know how many years it took me to get anywhere. And so I don't expect somebody to walk in here and change in the first 6 months, in the first year. Some do. But usually it's some change. Mm-hmm. But here's what I can tell you, and I believe this with all my heart. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, and you have not changed, there's a disconnect. And I would question your salvation. Because if anyone is united with the anointed one, Jesus, you're a new creation. You can no longer do the things you used to do. And people will come in, and women especially, and they'll be like, can you talk to my husband? Tell him not to do that. No. Not my job. My job is to show you Jesus, teach you about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will do the convicting. And if they grab a hold of Jesus, I'm going to watch their life turn around before my very eyes. And I never had to say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything I need to say, I say on this stage. I don't have to come to you and tell you you're wrong. See, if you found Jesus, you know if you're wrong or not. Doesn't mean you've let go of it yet, but you know whether or not you're right or wrong. You have to change if God's inside of you. There's just no question about it. You can't operate the same way if God's inside of you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You become a new creation every day.
We tend to experience this season with much difficulty because we tend to want to hold on to things we should be throwing away. In this season, we will find ourselves throwing out twisted beliefs, religious traditions, aka religiosity, and there is a religious spirit that needs to be gone.
And that religious spirit existed in the days of Jesus, mm-hmm. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Nobody upset God, Jesus more than those guys. Now, wait a minute. He hung out with the sinners. They didn't upset him. But when he got near the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he come unglued. There is a difference between a religion and a relationship. Religion is rules. The problem is most of the rules are man-made.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore, and I get into these debates all the time. I mean, I get phone calls from people looking for a particular type of church. And they'll call me up and they'll say, I'm looking for a godly church. Okay, so far we're okay. so far we're good. What else? And they'll go on and they'll go on. And then they'll tell me, well, you can't have women pastors. I said, oh, then this is not the church for you. Because Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Period. He didn't put any exceptions on there. We have anointed women all over this world that have brought countless people to salvation. And there's other scriptures I use as well. But look at the character of Christ. He didn't go around putting limitations on people. He said, I came to set the captives free. So how can I put you in captivity when Jesus set you free? We're supposed to set people free too.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to tell people what they can and can't do. We're supposed to encourage them to be all they can be in Christ.
Among the things of throwing out is past hurts, offenses, failures, sacred objects. We like to hold on to objects that represent another Christian, religion, such as certain religions give you statues. You're going to hold on to that statue because Aunt Mary's mother's mother's mother gave it to your mom. You're holding on to a demon. I'm just saying it like it is. You bring him into your house and expect God to make him get out when you're allowing him to sit there? You know, you have authority to put him out on your own through the blood of Jesus Christ. The first thing is to throw him out. I had an object in my house from an ex-son-in-law of mine. I took it out in a pillowcase. I didn't want that demon going to anybody else. I took a rock and I bashed it. And then I buried it. Just saying. We do things like that. We need to throw all these things out with a force that needs to be reckoned with. Holding on to these things, listen to me, holding on to these things, these roadblocks, are struggles that keep you in bondage. Once again, God reminded me.
If you continue to allow yesterday to dictate today, you will not have a tomorrow or future.
One might say, what's wrong with bringing yesterday into today? Glad you asked. Because many Christians think, if they keep yesterday's door just a little bit ajar, that it'll help them not make the same mistake again. I had to think about this because it actually made perfect sense. It was definitely logical. And then I had a profound revelation. God is anything but logical. God is anything but logical. So how's that working for you? Not so well, right? Let me ask you a question. Are you new? Bishop's been teaching ever since I can recall, and I've been here 14 years with him. Ever since I can recall, anything he's ever taught, he has taught this.
Satan doesn't go after what he wants. He goes after what will get him what he wants. Remember, Satan does what Satan does because it works. As long as it works, Satan will continue to use it. Satan has had 2,000 years to place all the traps in your life that need to be set there, and he knows which ones work, and that is why I am so obstinate of not giving any ground. That is why I have taken this stage on a Sunday morning time and time again in a condition that I should never take the stage. I've had to have my other pastors lift me up off the floor to get me to the stage so I could preach. Why? Why am I have other pastors, and they can preach. They're ready to go at a drop of a hat. But I'm not giving in to Satan, because if I allow Satan to injure me or make me sick to keep me from preaching, guess what he's going to do next week? Guess what he's going to do 2 weeks from now? Guess what he's going to do 4 weeks from now? He's going to continue to do the same thing because it worked. So I want to show him every time I can, it's not going to work, so cut it out. The best way to get Satan to cut it out is show him it's not going to work. Amen. So, we forget that he's very cunning. The Bible says he's very cunning. And a cunning person always goes the long way around, never comes straight at something. Mm-hmm. So what Satan wants, he will use something else to get it, and you don't even know that was what he wanted to start with. Right? He will get you into a conflict with somebody in the church. And there was very recently a conflict between two people in the church. He wasn't after your relationship. He wanted to remove you from the church. That's it. That's the end game. Mm-hmm. That's the end game. So I'm going to get somebody in the church to do something stupid, and it's going to mess your mind up. And you're going to be hot, and you're going to be hurt, and you're going to be emotional, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to be angry, and you're going to be all these things. And the first thought that's going to come across your mind is, I'm going to leave the church. Okay? And when you start playing with that thought, wind the clock down. Set the timer. Because you're going to start playing with that thought, and you're going to play with that thought. It's like trying to see how close you can get to a burner on a stove without burning yourself. Well, you keep on trying to touch it, and you're eventually going to get burned. It's mm-hmm. eventually going to happen. So you start playing with those thoughts and set the timer. I don't know if the timer's 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, but set the timer, because you're playing with that thought, and Satan's going to continue now to use different things to get you to go back to that thought. Because if he can get you out of the church, he can render you powerless.
Yep.
Because you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not doing. And that is the truth. And it don't matter where you go. Same thing's going to happen again, because it worked in the last church. It's going to work in the next church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I venture to say that anybody who's been to church at any length of time has been hurt at church. I know I had been. It happens. That's where spiritual cleansing and maturity comes in. Because when you have cleansed yourself and you become spiritually mature, you see these things coming a mile away. Ah, I see what you're doing. You're using this fool to get to me. And it never was about the fool. You were after me. Okay. I'm not pointing out names, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. Okay? I watch it all the time. I know it. I watch it. And I'm like, why'd so-and-so leave? Somebody will ask me. I'm like, it wasn't even me this time. I only run half the people off. Y'all do it on your own. We're almost done. We got any more?
Yeah, we got all 11 pages.
I mean for tonight.
No, we can close.
We'll be back tomorrow or next week.
No.
We'll be back sooner or later. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the ability to discern. And we thank you, Father, for everything you teach us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Protect us as we go about our day. Help us be mindful of you. Keep our heart and mind on you, that we may find prosperity in our hands and in our minds and in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I'm not going to leave you on the cliff, Shannon. 7 pair of every clean animal went on the ark. 1 pair of every unclean animal went on the ark. That would be the 2.